You're listening to Scratch Take, a podcast where songwriters tell the story behind their craft. I'm Jeremy Katzenstein. Triangle Park is the R&B electropop project of songwriter Sean Eads. Sean has been periodically putting out singles under the name Triangle Park since August 2015. Most recently, he released a new single called Flaws Are Showing. Though, given Sean's productivity, I'm sure there will be a handful of newer singles by the time this episode is finally released. Coming up, Sean Eads talks about how his fascination with the storytelling and melodic nature of musical theater has mixed with his love of R&B and electronic music to form Triangle Park's unique sound.
My name is Sean Jackson Eads. Right now I'm writing songs for my personal project, which is called Triangle Park. I started writing songs, I think the age I usually say was 12 years old, which is about 10 years ago now. And the reason I say then is because that's when I first got a keyboard of my own and really felt like I could kind of go off on my own and kind of create for the first time. I tend to be kind of a story-based songwriter, so I appreciate songs with a clear story. Be that, like, you can read all the story from the person who's singing its voice alone, and they're just conveying emotion, or there's kind of a storyline built into the song. That is probably top on my list, and then, like, definitely interesting chords and an interesting melody would be the next on the pyramid. And then everything else can kind of depends on the presentation of it, I think. Well, I'd say Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys is one of my favorite albums for all those reasons. And specifically, God Only Knows by the Beach Boys is, I think, maybe a perfect song, in my opinion. the arrangement, for sure, the way that it, like, all the melodies that are going on and all the different instruments kind of feature themselves at different points. I love how the Beach Boys do that throughout that album. And they kind of just drop you into the song, too, where the singer is in that moment. It starts with that line, "I may not always love you."
I may not always love you, but long
and you kind of know right away where you're at so that the story can kind of develop from there on. So I think that's cool when kind of it drops you into an emotional place right off the bat, and you can kind of just go on the journey with the vocalist. And then definitely, you know, that melody and those chords are so, I don't know. Really cool. Just like, yeah, they just get me, you know? That dude knows how to write chords.
The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me?
A song of mine. A recent song that I've written and haven't recorded yet, which actually took a lot of cues from Brian Wilson's songwriting, just because I've been listening to him so much lately, called Take This All Away. But I only say that one because it's the most recent example, and I was really actually trying to emulate Brian Wilson's songwriting when I was doing it. So, well, for starters, I pretty much literally just stole the melody from the beginning of Don't Talk, which is another song off of that Beach Boys album. Yeah, that intro.
I can feel what's in your eyes.
That thing.
I can feel your consciousness.
I took those first three notes, those exact intervals, and used that to start my own song. So I did that, and then I love the way that, like, that his chords kind of lead into one another. So I was trying to do that with this descent. I have this descending bass line in there, and then the chords kind of dance around it and sort of come in and out of different keys. And I think that's a very Brian Wilson thing to do. Yeah. I don't think steal is a strong word, and I do think I do it a lot. I think I try and pay direct homage to them if I do that, and not try and I don't want to disguise it, you know, and be like, I actually came up with this all on my own. You know, I want to pay respect to the people who did come up with whatever I'm borrowing or stealing. And I think that makes the song a little more interesting and layered too. I don't try and do it, obviously, on every song. But when I do, I like to kind of acknowledge it. Otherwise, I feel a little... Yeah, exactly. Since it's been so long, it's kind of hard for me to recall. But I definitely, when I started writing songs, was listening mostly to musical theater soundtracks and performing in musicals, and kind of was a theater nerd, and that was kind of my whole life. And I loved singing a whole bunch. So I think I kind of wanted to have songs that were made specifically for me, and that's probably why I started writing songs. Because you know, musical theater is so, the songs in musical theater are so story based and character based. And I think as a kid, I wanted to be like the character who was singing the song, kind of. So I would just kind of write songs about my own life from my own perspective. I think I largely had that in mind, and that's why my earlier songs, I think, were much more performative and much more character based than maybe my later stuff has been. My first song was called Porcelain Ferocious, and I wrote it, right about when I was 12. And I remember buying a magnetic poetry kit, which I learned about through reading The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And I was like, this is a great way to start writing lyrics. Like, I've never done this before. This will help me get some ideas going. And I did. I bought a kit. It was actually extremely useful. To this day, I feel like some of the best lyrics I've come up with were through using magnetic poetry and like looking at words together and seeing what looks and sounds nice. And so, yeah, the words porcelain and ferocious were picked right out of that magnetic poetry kit. And then I used that to kind of write the whole song about who I was, being this like gentle soul that I was, who had a fiery, you know, passion and ambition and whatever.
Hey, I am gentle and ferocious. I eat dinner when it's breakfast, and I kill time.
Yeah, that was definitely the first song I wrote, and for a while people called me Porcelain Ferocious or whatever, like, yeah, because I tried to make a whole thing of it by putting it up on MySpace and sharing it and whatever. And that was when that's kind of when I got started recording and trying to push my music on people.
The sky's not blue. Fish out of water, the fish is you.
No, I mean, no, not the exact same place. I definitely write from more places, I think. Yeah, because I have these various outlets, as you know, with Bend and with Triangle Park, and then with, you know, other things like Sludge Dump or musicals like that, where I'm writing as different characters every time. And even Bend, which is my own voice, there's still a Bend character, and a Bend sound that I'm writing for. So I have more to reference, I think, now, because I'm kind of working in line with other things that I've already created, or working on collaborative projects and doing things for other people, like underscoring short films and whatnot, which I definitely didn't have back when I was 12. No one was asking me to do that. Yeah. Sure. I guess I could say Jackie Bryan from Bend, is the most character-driven, bendy song. Well, when I first started Bend, there was this central character named Jackie Bryan, who I was kind of writing, kind of coming in and out of the perspective of, who was this like alien figure who looked like a human, but was certain that he wasn't a human, and had all these differences from everyone that he saw, but no one else was really recognizing, and had this sort of alienated experience in his life. And that was the central character that I wrote the first Bend album as, basically, without ever directly stating that, but that was kind of the idea behind River Friend.
All of the voices, all of the human girls.
So I guess Jackie Bryan would be, and then that's also one of the most story driven songs I've written in late years, I think. It's so, yeah, it's just kind of a character study almost. What I'm trying to go for with Triangle Park is slightly different in that it's a little bit less showy, a little smoother. I've got a lot more. Since starting Bend, I've been much more influenced by like R&B acts and stuff like that. So I've kind of tried to introduce that sound and more, you know, electronic keyboard instead of synths or in addition to synths and whatnot. And I think probably the best example of that would be The Way You Want To. The song that is tentatively called The Way You Want To might be called Behave when the album actually comes out. But yeah, that one. Behave the way you were born to, baby. I think write about what you know. Write about things that you've directly experienced. Is something I received from someone after he saw Lemonade, which was the musical I wrote during high school. So I was 17 when we put it up, and there's a song that takes place during an argument between a married couple. And he came up to me after the show, or we got coffee after the show or something like that, and he was like, yeah, I really like believed everything because that was from the point of view of this kid who was the main character, but it was when we went to the adults and you were trying to convey their marriage and how it was falling apart when I kind of lost interest or was less credulous because it was so clearly from the 17-year-old's voice who had never experienced marriage or, you know, divorce or anything like that. And I think that I have used that advice since, for sure. Maybe less directly, but I try and write from personal experience almost all the time.
I never should have run. You always had the words.
I'm glad you understand, old fool.
I feel a spark renewed.
The most difficult part of the songwriting process is finishing a song. because I have so many ideas that are, you know, a verse or a chorus or even less that are stored in voice memos or like scrawled out on paper or whatever that I really like and have this like intention behind them, this originality of the moment in which I came up with it that is hard to get back to, I think, later on. And so a lot of the time I'll be like, oh, I have this great idea. I'm not feeling it anymore. I'll come back to it later. And then when I come back to it later, it's like, but what was I feeling in that moment? And how do I like get back into that and channel that to finish this song and make it the best as it was supposed to be, as I was originally imagining it? Definitely. And I still have a lot of songs that feel like they'll never be finished. And I'll, you know, the song will change inevitably too. And sometimes you kind of just have to accept that it's not going to be the way it was when you initially conceived it, but it might be something else just as good or better. So that's another hard part, I think, is letting go of that original idea that got you so psyched about a song that is maybe not going to come out in the end product. I think lately learning how to produce and record has been really important to that because I can actually listen back to the song instead of just having to perform it in the moment, which was a lot of how I was writing songs initially. And then in the last 3 years or so, I've kind of learned how to use Logic and make decent sounding recordings. And I think being able to view the songs as like an arrangement in that way and hear them, not as just kind of snippets in my head, definitely allows me to build better songs and challenges me to like perfect them in a way that I wasn't able to when I was just singing and playing the piano. Another thing is just saying yes to people when I don't actually know that I'm capable of doing something, because then I have to learn, you know, like I think that's true of most things that if you're tasked with something that you feel now obligated to do, you can learn to do it. And I've been doing that more and more as I've entered adult life, I think.
If I had a purpose to this life of mine, I could be a person for you.
Thanks so much to Sean Eads for coming on to Scratch Take. Visit scratchtake.com for a link to Triangle Park's SoundCloud page, where you'll find all of Sean's most recent releases. You'll also find a complete playlist of all of the songs featured in today's episode. And finally, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes for more deep dives into the minds of songwriters.